welcome into another episode of Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And wow.
That was a game.
For the first... Frank, did you know that it's been 10 years since they were shut out?
I didn't know that.
For as bad as this team has been for most of 10 years, and for an entire playoff drought of 17, it's been 10 years since they've been shut out. In between shutouts. December 23rd, 2008. Yeah. Patriots. End of the season. Yeah. 2008.
Yeah.
That was the year that they started 4-0 under Trenton, and then he got the quarterback knocked out of them.
That's right.
So the quarterbacks between then and now have all managed to at least get 3 points of some sort, or the defense scored, in some sort of fashion. Until yesterday. And that was rough. I mean, hey, the defense played well. You give up 22 to the pack, that's usually a winnable game.
Yeah.
Usually.
Mm-hmm.
If your offense is made up of NFL players. There's only two players on this offense in 2 years that are going to be here. Deion Dawkins and Josh Allen. Everyone else is gone from this offense. The only other one you can make a case for is Zay Jones, if he were to develop properly. But the man disappears in games so often that I forget that he's there. I go, oh yeah, there's Zay Jones. Where you been all game?
And Shady's getting up there in age.
Shady's up there in age, and his contract is out in 2 years.
And at some point they're going to draft another guy.
This year is such a bizarre year for McCoy nonetheless.
Yeah.
Because the Bills are often so far behind right away that they don't get him the ball. Frankie has 21 touches all year.
Yeah.
That's a game's worth.
The one time when the Bills win a game and they're ahead and they're just running out the clock, he's not there. He's not playing.
He's dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
Because your offense... And it really, I think to me... The run game goes back to one thing and one thing only for me. The offensive line. They've done so much better in pass blocking recently. They really have. But they can't get a push to save their lives as a collective. They can't do it. They're not good enough to. The funny thing is they've done better in pass blocking and they still surrendered another 6 sacks yesterday. Or was it 7? I don't remember. Like, I very, 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 very stupidly picked them to go 9-7.
You did.
And it turns out the Minnesota game, of all the games, is the anomaly. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now you have Tennessee, now you have Houston, now you have Indy. Those should be, at the very least, games that we don't see a freaking blowout. Because none of those teams are great. They're all kind of just bad. Tennessee is the worst 3-1 team I've ever seen, and that includes Miami. And yet, you got the Titans sitting at 3-1. Go to hell. Just go to hell. My biggest concern, though, with this Bills season is going to be what I've had a problem with last year, the Sabres. Are they watchable?
Yeah, It's looking that way.
It's looking that way where it's going to bore people out of their minds.
Yeah.
And disenfranchise people from the team because of how boring they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even about the win-loss record at that point. It's just, can I watch you? Can you at least make it fun? And in 4 games, we have not had a game within 20 points. That's the simple facts of it. There has not been a 20-point game yet. The closest we got was the Bills blowing out the Vikings by 21. The defense looks like they're back, though. It really does. I have to say that first.
Mm-hmm.
They did a solid job against the run game. They did a solid job against Aaron Rodgers. They constantly were on the field. 3 turnovers against them. I mean, 3 turnovers and they couldn't do anything, you know? The offense couldn't do anything when the Bills got a pick of Aaron Rodgers. They picked Aaron Rodgers. The best scoring chance that this team had yesterday, Ryan Lewis dropped it.
Yeah.
He's going to wake up in a cold sweat over the next couple days. That man could have been able to say for his career, he could have told his grandkids and have the backup for it, I picked off Aaron Rodgers and took it to the house. Aaron Rodgers was not good that game, and he even said so after.
Yeah, he wasn't. I mean,
and that is a testament to how the Bills' defense actually played. The numbers are, if you look at the team
obviously
yards,
it didn't help to, obviously it didn't help Rodgers too that he's basically on one leg.
He is on one leg, but the Bills did a good job.
Even still, the Bills did a good, yeah, they did a good job against him. It's just the other way around.
That this went offense horrible. Is just such in need of a crutch this year that it's, again, I don't know how much of it is actually going to be watchable.
It's not. When the offense is on the field, you might as well just do something else. For like 2 minutes and then they'll be off the field. Because that's essentially what's happening.
Yeah.
When the defense is on the field, watch it. Because defense is not bad.
And it's going to be more than half the game.
Yeah.
That you're going to see them.
Yeah.
I'm fairly impressed, though, with how they did on the whole. I really... But even the attitude of some of the defenders. Shaq Lawson made a nice play behind the line of scrimmage, but they were still down, like, 16-0. And he's just got this iron steel-like mentality. Like, I'm not celebrating this. We're losing. You know, like, he looks like he's just trying to... Like, he's a man on a mission with these sorts of things. You get a fumble recovery from Kyle Williams. You get...
Mm-hmm.
An interception from Jordan Poyer. And yet you still lose the turnover battle for one thing. And you get 0 points out of it. Because both of those drives started in Green Bay territory. That is how embarrassing the offense was. And how embarrassing the offense is. Josh Allen did not look good. State it. It's a fact. If someone wants to get mad about it, too bad. I get that there are people that are trying to drive the narrative on Allen and everything like that. But this is a game where facts are facts. He was not good.
He wasn't good, and
he was forced.
We're gonna have more. We're gonna have those games. It's this offense is terrible. The offensive line is hot garbage. What can Allen do?
The wide receivers are worse somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow, the offensive line is not the worst unit.
Allen's rookie year is
Wyoming.
Basically, Wyoming.
He's
going
to Wyoming for his senior year.
Yeah, he's, you know, the habits that made people scared of him. He has to use them. And I don't. I mean, and if I'm Allen, I'm looking at it just like, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to do what my coaches tell me, but it's not going to be enough. I don't have any help.
Yeah, there is.
My best offensive player is LeSean McCoy, and we're barely using him.
Yeah, and they can't use him.
Because they can't use him, exactly.
They can't use him.
Yeah.
Because they're already behind. I would imagine like putting him in slot receiver position would be a novel idea.
Honestly,
receiver.
I'd like to see that, honestly. And or just, but I mean, like
that's how embarrassing this roster is. It is bottom of the barrel in several positions around this league.
Yeah,
but I would say most certainly the wide receivers are one of them.
Yeah, and the only solace you can take from this, from what the season's going to be, is what they can do in the next offseason.
Yes.
But that's all you have to look forward to with the Bills.
The only position group I can't put any blame on right now is the running backs.
Yeah.
Because they can't do anything.
They got nothing.
They've got nothing
You got three. We got one elite running back. And you got two guys who are solid.
And yet
I like Ivory as a second, as that power guy. And Murphy brings a lot of misdirection.
Yes. And the thing is the line doesn't get a push.
Yep.
And then by the second quarter, they're playing catch up already.
Yeah.
So it really, I think there has to be a conversation to be had now, Frank. What do we do with LeSean McCoy? His contract expires after next year.
after next year?
You could probably get something for the guy, especially if people in the market for Le'Veon Bell, who hasn't signed anything. You know you've got a player in a contract for another year in McCoy. Yeah, he's older, but you know you're getting him for more than one season or half a season. Whereas with Bell, you have no idea. We'll talk about that later. But
I don't know.
You have to at least have the conversation of, can they trade LeSean McCoy, and do they?
The answer, well, to answer your first question, yeah, they can trade LeSean McCoy.
I guess I should say, should
anyone
they?
Can get. Not, yeah, it's the answer is, should they do it?
That's the right question to ask.
Yeah.
Should they do it? And I think the answer might be yes. And here's why. You can get a solid running back in a draft.
Yeah, you can.
In mid-rounds.
My question would be, when do you do it? Because they can, and they probably should.
Oh, blue screen of death.
Blue screen of death.
Blue screen of death.
I don't know what happened.
Frank has lost his internet privileges. That's called you have to get up,
yep.
Go across the room, figure out which one's the right computer, and then turn it off.
The right one. You want to know what happened?
Well, it already just shut off on you.
Did it?
Yep.
Well, I'm gonna soft reset it real quick.
No, it already just reset.
Well, I'm resetting the whole thing.
I'm watching this in real time, and it's more amusing than the Bills offense. What up?
I believe the website, SpotTrack. Because I was on that website. Because I was looking up LeSean McCoy's contract.
But again, so what'd you see?
We're getting rid of this.
Well, I made a joke.
I know you did.
About it being more entertaining than Frank with the offense.
Ha.
And the Bills offense, and this being more entertaining than that.
I don't know. I don't know if they should trade LeSean McCoy. Because
you're drafting receivers and offensive linemen with all of your picks?
Pretty much.
I hope.
Plus, I don't know. I do think they're going to draft a running back to try to replace LeSean McCoy. I don't know if it's right away. They might do, but they might. I mean, if we're talking like a 5-year plan, they're probably drafting a running back a year or two after McCoy's off the team. Because something tells me they might give Marcus Murphy the opportunity.
And
they might give him the opportunity first.
And now here comes the part of the, should you trade LeSean McCoy, the other aspect of it. Do you owe it to the guy? You know McDermott loves him.
Yeah.
And he'd known him all the way since their time in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you owe this man a chance to, you know, go after a playoff race, a playoff run?
He deserves to
because the man's never sniffed it.
Yeah.
He's one of the more dynamic backs that we've seen in a long time.
Yep.
So I guess that's where you have to stand. Like, if you're Brandon Bean, you know he's not going to be part of your future, and you know you could get something for him. The man hasn't been shy of doing this.
It's true.
So I think it has to be a conversation, or at least a thought that has to be kept in everyone's head. They can very well do this.
Yeah,
they should can. They? Will they? Are the other questions that we don't know the answer to.
They would have to feel confident that they can fill the void in a way.
For example, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Steelers are asking for a second and a good player.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you could do with that? Hey, we got Shady. He's locked up for another year. Third rounder? You got him for 2 years. You know you're getting him. You don't know with Le'Veon Bell. Now, granted, if I'm the Steelers, I'm probably not getting that asking price. It's called swinging for the fences. But at the same time, if you're the Bills, you could try to play a little competitive market.
It's interesting.
It is interesting, and it's something, like I said, the thought has to be there. And guess what you can get with a third or fourth round pick if you got that? Another running back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty damn easy.
Yeah.
But you know how this wouldn't be a problem? If New England didn't sign Mike Gillisley away. Oh, wait. That would just be a player rotting on our roster right now.
He would. Let's be real. Gillisley wouldn't be here right now if he never got signed by New England. He'd be somewhere else. Because there's no way the Bills would have kept him.
Well, they were looking at a two-year deal for him. It was just that New England signed him to 2 years that circumvented the cap and screwed the Bills. And they thought enough about him because they tendered him. Remember that. I shouldn't be talking more about that thought. But running back, if you look at, for example, a player like Gillisley, they got him undrafted, signed off of free agency.
Yeah.
It allows you the mobility and the opportunity with running back to get these kinds of players. Marcus Murphy, right off free agency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that elite running back talent doesn't exist. Look at Todd Gurley. Dude who's taken with the top 10 pick has justified it every carry he gets.
Yeah.
But can you at least get me replacement level? Maybe. It just frustrates me knowing what this offense is. It's offensive. How bad it is.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
This offense is so trash that it is offensive to watch.
Yep.
And should be stated with a not suitable for work because the amount of curse words you're going to say while watching them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible. They're bad. And they're wasting a good defense. Does this sound familiar?
Sounds very familiar.
Back in 2004, they had one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah.
And they wasted it.
They did.
They had the pieces in place that year, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the offense just didn't step up with the talent that they actually had.
They actually had talent on that offense.
Yeah, this offense, we can at least see it.
Yeah.
Everyone sees it coming. You know what? I'll take that we didn't go winless. We guaranteed didn't.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a rough year. And I'm very happy that the Sabres start in 3 days.
The Bills are going to win probably like at least three more games.
It is the NFL.
Yeah, things happen.
Things do happen. I mean, hey, the worst part about all of this is they're nowhere even near guaranteed the first overall pick. Arizona
bad.
Is but. And Josh Allen is not the only player getting screwed into a bad situation.
Yeah, the other Josh.
Josh Rosen is in probably a worse situation. They have an older elite-level player, Larry Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Hell, they have David Johnson, and they just don't know what to do with him right now. For some reason.
It's hard for... He can't really do much.
Yeah. And they're 0-4. The Bills have a win, at least.
Yeah.
This is just going to be a rough year for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sabres, you better be ready. You better step it up. You better be entertaining. Because, by God, this city needs it right now. We are relying on the very first 31st place team to cure our woes. That's how bad the Bills are.
Yeah. But at least the Sabres have made the moves to at least attempt to be more entertaining.
All right. Let's do our pick-ems for the week.
Okay.
And then we can hit an NHL preview. So how about that?
Let me just grab the week five up. I'm also going to write this down, or in this case, type it on my phone.
So, I'm on a hot streak.
You have won 2 weeks in a row. Congratulations.
Did you win the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
We did pretty, regardless of what happens with the Monday Nighter tonight, KC Denver, we did pretty well this week.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So far, I mean, I've gotten 8 rights, and you have 9.
So I could get
if 10. KC wins, you get 10, I get 9.
KC's winning.
Yeah, yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
They are a nightmare.
They butt.
No, they're a nightmare to deal with. Denver could be good. We don't know. And this is not going to be a fair evaluation of them.
True.
KC is terrifying. When they don't score a touchdown, I'm literally shocked.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs of 2018, take the over. That's the slogan for the team. Take the over.
Take the over. I like it.
The over.
I like it. Okay.
Well, at one point, Vegas is going to put an over for them like 84.
Well, that'd be the case if they were playing the Bills.
Ouch. That's just their offense. I'm talking about both teams because defense is not that good.
Yeah. It's not.
KC needs to score all those points. Good thing they're well equipped.
They are. All right.
All right, here we go.
The Thursday nighter is Indy at New England.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's a pretty easy one right there.
And I want to talk about Frank Reich in a bit.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get to that.
But poor Frank Reich about to take that L, and he's about to get another one.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that's rough.
All right.
Poor Frank Reich.
Miami at Cincinnati.
Cincy.
Yeah.
The Bengals are good.
They're good.
They are actually good. Maybe Miami got exposed, but I'm not overreacting to that. I've just always thought Miami is a fool's gold team. You know this. How many times have I said it on this podcast? I don't think Miami's good.
Baltimore at Cleveland. I'm going Browns.
I'm debating it.
I think they find a way.
I think they find a way to hue.
Ha.
Bad coaches find ways to lose games. Look no further than their loss to Oakland.
It's true. Yeah.
And the Ravens kind of looking legit. The AFC North has been spun on its head, don't you think, though?
It has.
The Steelers are in deep trouble.
Yep.
Like possibly third in the division.
This has the potential to be a really low-scoring game. Or this will be a low-scoring game.
You're talking Baltimore-Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. And the Ravens might be able to do some things to frustrate Baker Mayfield in ways that we haven't seen yet.
You going Baltimore?
Yes.
Okay. Next one, Green Bay at Detroit. You don't bet against the bad man.
I know.
Even if he's on one leg.
I did it. Not going to make the same mistake twice.
That's what I thought. So speaking of Kansas City.
Oh, boy.
They play Jacksonville.
Oh, strength v. strength. Come at me, bro.
Strength v. strength.
Oh, but I don't think KC's defense can even contain Blake Bortles. But I'm not picking against them. Not yet.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yet. Not yet.
And Jacksonville tends to put up offensive clunkers every now and then. They scored 6 points against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Who, again, I don't think is that good.
Denver at the Jets.
Give me Denver. I really think that Sam Darnold's being overhyped for what he is right now. He's a rookie, and he's looking like it a lot.
All right, next one. Atlanta at Pittsburgh.
Falcons.
I'm going Steelers. I know we were just talking a little bit about them, how they're going downhill.
At least the Falcons have players on defense that are good.
Yeah, but most of them are hurt.
They still attack McKinley.
Yeah.
They still have Trufant.
Yeah. Vic Beasley, too.
And Vic Beasley. Those are three more talented players than anything Pittsburgh boasts on their roster defensively. Who's the best player on Pittsburgh's defense? Bud Dupree?
Probably.
And that's it. Everyone else is just bad.
Okay. Next game. Giants at Carolina.
Carolina.
Yeah.
The Giants are bad.
Mm-hmm. They bad. Raiders at Chargers.
Chargers.
Yep.
Even though the Chargers find hilarious ways to lose games, so do the Raiders.
The Raiders are a little worse at it.
Yes. Or are they
here's an interesting game. Vikings at Eagles.
Vikings offenses, they bounce back in a big way against a good defense in the Rams, too.
And they're playing another good defense in Philly. And this would be Wentz's third game back.
I think, though, that Minnesota has what it takes to win this one. Either way, a Super Bowl favorite is going to end up in a bad position.
Yep.
That would mean what? One of those teams gets the three losses?
Yeah. Vikings 1-2-1, Phillies 2-2.
Yeah. So one of those teams could get to three losses on the year already.
Yeah.
Something none of us would have seen coming.
Yep. All right.
Don't bet the NFL, kids.
Cardinals at
49ers.
Okay. I'm going
Yeah. Hang on. That's not Garoppolo Niners.
This is CJ Beathard Niners.
But they even kept up with the Chargers.
They did.
Niners.
I'm going Cardinals.
I can't take Arizona right now. They're bad.
I know they're bad, but you know what?
They're somehow more trash than the team that we root for.
I think Rosen finds a way. Even with what he has.
He better find a way. That's the only way he'll win a damn game.
I think he will. I think he will.
Because his coaching staff is too dumb to know what David Johnson is.
All right. This is an easy one. Rams at Seahawks.
Rams.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to talk about Earl Thomas, too.
Yeah. Okay. Cowboys at Texans. Battle of Texas.
I don't want to ever pick the Cowboys ever. Ever. Never, ever, never. So I'm going to jinx them and pick Cowboys.
I'm going Houston.
I'm doing this to jinx them.
Okay.
To hell with Jerry. They're not good. The Cowboys are not good. But the Texans have found ways to lose so many games. The only reason they won yesterday was because Frank Reich had stones.
He had stones. All right, the Monday Nighter, Washington at New Orleans.
Saints.
Going Saints as well.
All right, here we go.
Tennessee, Buffalo. I almost said Baltimore. I'm going Titans.
I know the Bills are trash.
The Bills are bad.
I know that the Titans are not that good.
Tennessee's not that good, but...
Can you trust this team to win anything? The answer is no. Not right now. But this is exactly the kind of game that they can win.
Yeah.
A weak offense is coming in. This is not Aaron Rodgers.
We were just talking about last week, 2 weeks ago, Tennessee is bad. Like, really bad. Because of their QB situation with Mariota being...
Their quarterback has tingling in his fingers right now.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be playing.
And he threw 44 times yesterday and won. He accumulated almost 400 yards of offense by himself. And won. Corey Davis had 160 yards receiving.
Okay, so they might actually be better than I thought. I mean, again, I can't pick the Bills.
If Mariota somehow doesn't play, the Bills have a chance. That's the only thing. Because Blaine Gabbert going to lead the Titans to a win?
Blaine Gabbert's in concussion protocol.
Okay, who's going to lead the Titans to a win then?
Austin Davis.
Stop.
Don't stop me. The Bills are bad.
I know.
This is exactly the kind of game. This is the exact kind of team that could lose to an Austin freaking Davis. I'm picking the Titans. I'm pissed that I'm picking the Titans, and this offense is pissing me off.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Want to talk about Frank Reich for a little bit? Real quick?
First, I'll go Earl Thomas.
Okay.
Then we end with stones. Then we go to Puck.
Okay.
Okay?
I like it.
Earl Thomas.
I feel bad for him.
I feel awful for the guy.
Yeah.
I really think, though, that there's like... It's so weird. Earl Thomas held out because they were trying to... Because they wanted to negotiate a new contract.
Yeah.
He and his camp. The Seahawks wanted nothing to do with it. He said, trade me or pay me.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Fair assessment.
Fair.
Le'Veon Bell is a different situation. Whereas... He's holding out because there's really no other option. But the thing is that Thomas still wants to keep playing this season. Like, he wanted to play, you know, be it for this team or another. And the Seahawks almost pulled the trigger on a deal. Had they done that, I think that they would have gotten a deal done, an extension in Dallas, even if he still breaks his leg.
Mm-hmm.
and Earl Thomas quit his job the way that many people would love to. Flip off your boss. And you know none of the players took offense to that. None of them did.
No, because they understand.
And this is why you could feel bad for Earl Thomas and still hate on Le'Veon Bell. Here's why. Despite the fact that they would both have the same risk, and you know Lev Bell is not coming near that roster anytime soon.
Yeah.
Especially if they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Here's why Le'Veon Bell will not be here by week 10. Because of Earl Thomas. But here's why you could feel for Earl Thomas and still hate on Le'Veon Bell. And here's why. He still came and showed up for his team.
Mm-hmm.
And when he flipped off that sideline, none of those teammates took offense to it.
Because he wasn't flipping off his teammates. He was flipping off Pete Carroll and the management.
Yeah, he was. And that is why when you're hearing the Steelers clap back at Le'Veon Bell, you know there's something different. There's something else in the water there.
Yeah.
With Earl Thomas, nobody really cared in the Seahawks locker room about Earl Thomas's holdout situation. He held out to the first game of the season. Nobody cared. Nobody blinked in the Seahawks locker room. And the Seahawks have been, let's try to find the way to describe this, an eccentric group of characters. You know, they have personalities on that team. But nobody took offense to Earl Thomas holding out then because that was standard business. Le'Veon Bell, there's something more there because Earl Thomas was at least willing to risk it for this team and he wanted to sign with this team. Team just didn't want to sign anything back at the moment. And that's where it costs Earl Thomas. And that's where you can feel bad for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But with Le'Veon Bell, he is holding out and not playing for the sake of not being a Steeler anymore. And that is where there's a difference. The Seahawks knew the intent of Earl Thomas. He didn't care where he played. He just wanted to get paid to do it.
Yeah.
Like Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
The man wanted to get paid. He didn't care where he was going to do it. He just wanted to be rewarded and given a contract in good faith. Aaron Donald, same thing. Whereas Bell wouldn't even touch the franchise tag so that they could negotiate a contract. And yes, what has happened with Le'Veon Bell is stupid and all, but that's where I don't feel bad for Le'Veon Bell if, you know, he doesn't get paid the way he wants to. I feel bad for Earl Thomas because he went back. He showed up. He did his side of it. He came back in good faith. And it was not rewarded to him. And that is where you get to flip off your boss. I guess.
Yeah.
So I do hope that, you know, Earl Thomas does get, he gets better soon and that the guy can at least get something close to his worth because the man is a game changer in the back of the secondary. He's the last member of the Legion of Boom.
He is.
And now the Seahawks have none of them.
Yeah.
2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, all three of them were on the same sideline. Hell, last year, all three of them were on the same sideline. They're all gone. And that's wacky to think about. All three of them also with injuries to end their tenures with Seattle.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman ruptures his Achilles.
Yep.
Cam Chancellor has to be forced to retire with a
neck
injury. And now Earl Thomas breaks his leg in the last game that he ever plays as a Seahawk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The good news for him is that it's a clean break.
That's true. This is good news.
There's less complications often with that.
He's going to be fully healthy by the time he hits free agency.
As a matter of fact, there were reports that he could be healthy by Super Bowl time. Granted, Seattle's not making the Super Bowl, but...
Yes, they're not making the playoffs, but...
That's a good timetable.
Yeah. That's like,
it doesn't
exactly
linger until next season.
Yeah.
That is where there is solace to take for a man. I mean, if there's solace for breaking your leg and losing out on potential millions of dollars, I guess that's the solace. Sorry, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Get well soon, Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
But this is where I I could still go ahead and have an explanation for why I think Le'Veon Bell is still being a jackass, because I suspect that there's something more there.
All right.
But you see, it doesn't take stones to try to hold out.
good segue.
I give that like a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
But you know who's got stones? Frank Reich.
Frank Reich has
Frank
stones.
Frank Reich. I cannot. We need more coaches like this. Oh my God, we need
Yeah,
more
we do.
This is a man who was not scared. I saw a take that I noticed that it was our buddy Lars who addressed the take. It was from Mike Greenberg,
yeah.
ESPN.
Yeah.
And he said something along the lines of, you were willing to lose instead of willing to tie. Your job is to make sure that you don't do that.
No, your job is to win.
Your job is to win. The take was completely off the rail of what it should be.
He's making it sound like your job is to not lose.
And that is...
Sorry, but that's the perception of the dinosaurs and us, whereas the dinosaurs look at a tie as, well, you didn't lose, and we look at it as a tie as, well, we didn't win.
As much as I love Chaos Incarnate and I wanted a third tie in the season in four weeks... Oh, God.
That would have been
six
chaos.
Six different teams with a one...
With a tie?
With a third little one.
Yeah. That would have been hilarious.
It would have been hilarious.
It would have been, but it would have been so stupid for
Frank
the Colts
to punt
that. Yeah.
How little time they had on the clock.
Yeah.
And granted, different scenario, but to quote Sean McDermott, I don't regret the decision. Like, Frank Reich definitely doesn't regret the decision.
He literally said he makes that call 10 out of 10 times.
10 out of 10 times. And I'm here to win.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I'm like,
nice.
You. I'm happy that you played in Buffalo.
You did.
I'm glad that there's a connection between you and this city right now, because you have cojones that need to be wheeled around in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's you true. Are Randy Marsh. Congratulations, Frank Reich. It didn't. I'm just upset it didn't pay off for you.
Yeah.
Because
you could say that the play call should have been different. But at the same time, you still commend him for going for it.
No. I don't blame him for the play call, because he's not James Franklin. I don't blame him. As a matter of fact, I got to talk about that in a moment here. I don't blame him for the play call. I don't blame him for the decision.
Oh, no.
And I definitely do not blame him for doubling down on it.
Yeah.
And saying, don't call me out on that. I was trying to win.
Yeah.
My team loves that we tried to win. That's a coach you get behind.
Yeah.
Real damn quick.
Yeah.
Because he believes in you.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does he believe in the offense
Obviously.
To get the first down, that's also a belief in, hey, if we don't make this, you got to at least lock them down so that we get the tie. But the Texans do get a quick advancement of yards. It's a chip shot field goal, and the Texans win. But that is a signal of faith, and
yeah.
a strong one. And there is no better feeling from a professional football player to doing your job in an office of knowing that someone believes in you.
It's true.
God dang. That is something that you can... That gives you super sorts of adrenaline and good feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes a workplace better.
If the Colts had more of their weapons, because they didn't have T.Y. Hilton.
If Andrew Luck had his arm.
Yeah, and I mean, it didn't help, too, that Luck threw the ball 62 times.
They really got to stop. They got to, like, do something about this.
Yeah.
Because he threw, like, 40 times in last week's loss and just... But, yeah, I don't blame anything about Frank Reich there. If anyone's criticizing him, leave him alone. Go ahead and play football with the double wing option and go away.
Mm-hmm. Luck's already thrown the ball 186 times this season.
That is not good.
That's
almost 50 passes a game.
46 and a half per game.
That is way too much.
Yeah.
Do something. You had Nyheim Hines get you a couple touchdowns yesterday. Give your running backs the football, please. Good God. Well, they were also without their two starting tackles.
That's true.
No Costanzo, no Haig. Haig's on IR.
But still, I don't blame Reich as well. I love it. I love the call. When I was watching the game and I was like, they're going for it? Nice.
Yeah, we were all looking
love
at
it.
That. We're all looking
I at that. Love the call.
Yeah, we're all looking at that like, this is gonna be awesome if they make this.
Yeah.
And because of what? There was less than a minute left.
You know,
punting it would have just been like,
God.
Ugh.
Yeah, it would have been.
It would have reminded me of Rex.
Yeah, exactly. I was exactly thinking the same thing.
So, by the way, everyone's making fun of James Franklin and Penn State for their call on fourth down and five that lost them the game against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I got a hot take for you. I don't blame the play call at all. I thought a zone read would be a pretty good play there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the running back looked like he would have had something if the right guard did something other than turn into a Bills offensive lineman.
Ooh. Yeah, okay.
Because he was turnstiled. Yeah. The guy was turnstiled.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it like, that was a great play. They had Ohio State. There was just one player in the way of everything going poorly for the Buckeyes.
Yeah.
And it was the D tackle because he spun the guard around.
Yeah.
If that guy decided not to emulate the Bills offensive line, Penn State gets a first down.
Mm-hmm.
And that game is still going. And they have a chance to win.
I like these aggressive calls on fourth down.
I mean, granted, running on fourth and five, not the greatest of ideas.
Yeah.
But a zone read does allow you the chance at multiple options.
But even still, like...
You see the play setup on this? When I watched it, I thought, wait, what the hell's wrong with this play call? There were three options to this. There was a zone read scheme where the quarterback could hand off or keep it, but it also sets up a bubble screen on the other side of the field.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just saying, like, I love the coaches who make those aggressive calls.
I mean, in college, one loss and you're done for the season anyway.
I don't care.
So
I don't care. It's another one of those fate things. Like, even if you're up, even if you're down, even if the game's tied, doesn't matter. I hate coaches who are afraid to lose.
So you hate our coach.
Let's not get into that.
I would love a different ideology from him. I will say it. I'll say it.
Yeah.
The guy does have dinosaur tendencies.
Yeah. Okay.
Is he a right man for the job?
We can't We can't get too much into it because we got to do hockey and we're limited on time.
All right.
Yeah, it's almost two, so, and I got to be dumb. Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah.
We got to carry it away there. We got a lot of football talking.
Good job.
All right. All right, Frank. So the Sabres are here.
Hockey season is
starts
here.
Starts Thursday before our next pod. And it's a brilliant thing. We talked a lot about the Atlantic Division for the most part with Steve Dangle in our last podcast.
Yep.
Check that out.
It was great. It was
a great interview.
It was fun.
Loved doing it.
He's awesome.
And now, Frank, you wanted to do something that we didn't even do for the NFL starting the season.
Yeah, why didn't we do that?
Because we didn't think.
Okay. That's true. We don't think.
I mean, we're doing weekly pick-ems for the NFL. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we're not going to do that. It's true. I mean, the pick-ems are good enough.
Yeah, the pick-ems are good enough. We give it every bit of attention, so why not do something like this?
Let's do a season preview for the NHL.
Season preview for the NHL.
Do you want to basically start with the Atlantic? Like, we'll go
on who's winning the divisions?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, why not? We'll start there. Atlantic is pretty damn easy. The order is what's the trickiest. I'm going Lightning, Leafs, Bruins, Wild Card, Panthers.
I'm basically doing the same. Leafs second. I think Leafs are second.
All right, Metro.
Now the rest though.
Oh, right. We're going to just do the rest of the division.
Let's just real quick. The rest, though. Buffalo finishes fifth.
Yes.
I have...
Montreal, Detroit, Ottawa.
I have Detroit, Montreal, Ottawa.
So our only disagreement is where the butt Red Wings and the butt Canadiens end up?
Yeah. Okay.
One has Carey Price.
This is true. I know.
The other has...
Jonathan Bernier?
One has not even Henrik Zetterberg anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Metro.
Metro.
Washington wins the division?
Pittsburgh wins the division.
You got Pittsburgh. Do you have Washington in second?
Yes.
I have Pittsburgh in second. I have Philly in third.
I have New Jersey.
Okay.
Corey Schneider being back is going to be helpful.
He's not back yet.
He'll be back for the season.
He will be back. Yes.
Taylor Hall is a certified gunner and yes. was the MVP, rightfully so, last season.
I'll argue it, but go ahead.
I would say, like, I'm not mad that he did. How's that?
I'm not mad that he won. I don't think he should have won, though. I think Connor McDavid should have won MVP.
I mean, player most valuable to the roster. Without Connor McDavid, are the Oilers still trash?
Yes.
Without Taylor Hall, are they a playoff team? That's where valuable comes in.
That's fair.
That is why I respect the term valuable.
McDavid, but I would also argue.
And we'll talk about that.
We got plenty of time to talk about that. So you have New Jersey third.
I have New Jersey third.
So you have one more wild card team. Who is it?
Columbus. Rotten hell gritty.
Okay.
No. I take that back.
You take it back?
I do.
Who? What is it? Gritty makes the playoffs?
No. The Metro has three teams. I'm slapping it on the Sabres.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's go.
Oh, God.
I'm fanboying.
Okay.
Let's do this.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, man. Yeah, you Leroy Jenkins that.
Yep.
All right.
I'm gonna.
I have Washington 1, Pittsburgh 2, Philly 3. I have New Jersey as the other wildcard team, along with Florida. I think Columbus misses the playoffs.
I do, too.
And then the range. And then the bottom three is going to be Carolina, Rangers, Islanders.
I'm going to say Rangers, Carolina, Islanders.
Okay. I have a tough time figuring that Rangers, Carolina, but.
Can anyone read the Hurricanes anymore? I can't get a read on those guys.
Even with trading Jeff Skinner, their offense is still not bad. It's young, it's good.
But their goaltending is always
a problem. The goaltending's going to be the problem. And they still got. They added Dougie Hamilton. They traded Noah Hanifin. Yes. But Dougie Hamilton's a really good defenseman. They still have Justin Falk.
It's just, what the
they
hell?
They still have Brett Pesce and Jakub Slavin. That's a very good top four.
They're a
four.
Good young group. My thing is this, and it's always going to be with this until Carolina
it's their
goaltending. Who the hell's starting enough for them right now? Scott Darling?
Him or Mrazek right now.
Peter Mrazek went there?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so they might actually have a step up. It's not Cam Ward. But it's not bam.
Damn. For Carolina, though, their goaltending is pretty much wait until Nedeljkovic develops. Just like with Philly, Philly's waiting for Carter Hart to develop.
Cam Ward could share a room with Gritty in hell.
Yeah. But in Carolina, they got...
Stole our Stanley Cup.
Toivo Teravainen. They have Sebastian Aho. They drafted Andrei Svechnikov.
Oh, yeah, Svechnikov should be there.
Yeah.
But again, for me, I'm not putting them above the Rangers right now because one of them has Henrik Lundqvist. That steals you games.
I don't know. I don't know how far you can go at his age.
Oh, I know that. That's why they're still only the third worst.
That's true.
They're the third from the worst.
Okay.
But
so right now, okay. We only need to talk about non-playoff teams. Yeah. We really shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Central Division.
Okay.
Winnipeg wins it for the division for me.
Oh my God. They are deadly.
It's going to be very close though.
All right, what do you got?
Nashville comes in second.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis comes in third.
Yeah, I would agree with these top three.
I think both wild cards come in the Central as well.
Really?
Colorado?
Yep.
And Chicago.
Really?
If Crawford is healthy.
Which he's not.
When Crawford is back healthy... And he plays like, even before he got hurt last season, he plays like the way he did before he got hurt. They can make the playoffs.
But what about Chicago's roster is better than last year?
Well, you got another year. You got another year to bring it. Year two of him. I think year two of him. Another year with Nicholas Schmaltz. Chicago has some young players. Adam Boqvist looks like he might be making the roster, at least to start. 8th overall pick.
But I know my biggest thing though is what on Chicago is better from last year.
I don't know.
And ultimately, that's
the thing. But that's always been Chicago's thing though.
All right. Round up.
They didn't, to me, they didn't get worse. I don't think they also got better, though.
Yeah. All right. Round out the Central here.
So Colorado, one wild card. Chicago, the other.
So Minnesota's out.
Minnesota's out. And so is Dallas.
Hmm. All right. I have Winnipeg. I have Nashville. I'd have the Blues probably as a wild card. I think Dallas takes the three. I'm surprised you have them at the bottom.
Well, I don't know which one would finish last and second last between Minnesota and Dallas. I don't really know.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with Dallas, it's not their offense.
It's their defense.
It's still deadly. It's their defense.
Defense and goaltending. Ben Bishop getting hurt last year is probably the worst thing that could have happened.
Didn't help.
It was probably the worst thing that could have happened to them.
But even still, he was
not there as their backup.
Even still, Ben Bishop was okay last year. He wasn't good.
He wasn't that good either, yes. Yeah. But if you have a solid backup support system, you might be better there. And defensively, Miro Heiskanen is going to make the team.
That's true.
That is where they get better, and that's where I think that Dallas takes that. Colorado gets a wild
I don't know
card.
How far rookie Miro Heiskanen will take them, though.
He is talented.
He's very talented. Absolutely. He's worthy of the third overall pick. He was the best defenseman. Absolutely.
But there's where I see an improvement on the roster instead of anything opposite. So that's where I go with that.
Okay.
And on paper, they were supposed to be a very strong team last year. Can you deliver on it? Well, now you got Ben and Sagan locked up.
Yeah.
Let's go. And then that's it. I've got four wild cards. I mean, I got four playoff teams in the Central. I think Chicago could finish last in the division.
They seem like boom or bust this year.
Yeah.
They really do. I think this year, last year was a lot of things went wrong for them.
Minnesota's window has shut.
Yeah, it's shut. It's done. They're done.
They're over with.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen anymore.
So you have one wild card team from the Pacific. I have three teams. Who's winning the division?
Vegas.
I have San Jose.
Oh, right.
Vegas is still a good option, good pick, though.
I'm still picking Vegas.
They're still a good pick. They're still a good team.
Fight for that all year.
Yeah. I have Vegas in second. My third team is LA.
Agreed.
But I don't have any other team making the playoffs.
Fourth team, Anaheim.
Okay. I think Anaheim falls out this year.
Anaheim's still good enough. They're still like a young, talented core and enough veteran presence and solid players, like Ryan Getzlaff, for example. John Gibson is still a good goaltender in this league.
Yes.
And will alone help them get there. All three teams from Cali and Vegas are your playoff teams there. I would have Edmonton behind them because, god dang it, poor Connor McDavid's never going to make the playoffs again because Peter Shirelli's a boob. And then
I have Anaheim as fourth, too. I just think they just miss out.
You just think that Chicago edges them in a playoff spot.
Yes. It might be one where Chicago gets 96 and Anaheim gets 95.
Do the Coyotes finish last in the division again?
No.
Who does?
Vancouver. Even though Elias Pettersson is going to be playing this year, he's really good. They don't have the Sedins are gone.
Besser takes one of those roles. Horvat should take one of those roles.
You would expect.
The thing is that their goaltending is not solid enough that they
can. It's not good, and their defense is not good as well. Quinn Hughes needs to. They need this year to get over with quickly so they can have Quinn Hughes playing for them.
Yeah. Hope for an early exit for Michigan.
That's what you would hope for Vancouver's sake.
Yeah.
I think Arizona right now.
They do have Antti Raanta, who is a good goaltender in this league.
Yes.
And proved it last year.
Now, another year where you have Clayton Keller, you have Derek Stepan. I'm wondering what their forward core is going to be because Clayton Keller is going to be really good. Mm-hmm. He's really good. I think Arizona's still second last for me.
Yeah.
Edmonton's third last. I think and Calgary is going to be right behind Anaheim.
I think Edmonton, Calgary, Arizona, Vancouver ends up the division.
Okay. Calgary, Edmonton, Arizona,
all right,
Vancouver.
Awards time, sir.
Let's do quick awards.
Do we go playoff picks or do we go awards first?
Playoffs first.
Why don't we do it in the real order?
Okay, fine. Awards. It's actual awards. All right. Vezina. We'll start with that.
Vezina, I will go with... I'm going to go with Andrei Vasilevskiy.
That is who else I'm going to go with as well.
Fine. Contrarian pick. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Fine. This team, Fleury's a fine pick as well.
Yep.
Norris.
Norris. Give me a second on that.
I'm going to go with... Erik Karlsson.
I feel like it's a cop-out pick.
Is it really? Because you could go with Karlsson. You could go with Brett Burns. You could go with Victor Hedman. You could go with Drew Doughty.
Rasmus Dahlin. Hey, if I've got the Sabres making the playoffs, he better be in the contention.
You could go PK Subban.
I could go PK.
You could go Roman Josi. I mean, Erik Karlsson, though, with San Jose.
Yep. I'm going.
Is there a like?
I'm going same nationality, different conference.
You going Hedman?
Victor Hedman.
Okay. The thing is, look at Karlsson. He's on San Jose now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Karlsson could be a point per game player this year?
I don't know, because there's still only one puck.
There is only one puck.
And there, and yes, point per gamers have gone up over recent years, but it's still
power
not
play.
Easy.
Power play.
Yeah, but they still have a bunch of weapons.
Yeah. It doesn't have to just be goals.
I know.
Karlsson dishes.
I know.
It's all it takes.
I'm just not sure. How's that?
Okay. That's fine. You don't have to be sure.
Because Brent Burns is going to eat into that ice time, too, as a right-handed shot.
Yeah.
So,
they might use him as a forward more.
Mother of God. All right.
Okay.
So we got Vezina. We got Norris.
Let's go Calder, Rookie of the Year.
Dahlin. I don't know if there's going to be a doubt there.
Pettersson, Svechnikov, Mittelstadt.
Dahlin.
Okay. Art Ross, who leads the league in points?
Probably McDavid again. Can we just pick second?
Sure.
Who wins the not Art Ross? Who wins the Bob Ross?
Can we make that a thing?
It's not the Art Ross, but it's the Bob Ross. You get a picture.
you get a painting.
No, you know what you get? You get that Bob Ross chia pet as a trophy. So who's getting the Bob Ross chia pet?
Yeah.
I'm going with Nathan MacKinnon.
I'm going to go Nikita Kucherov.
Okay. All right. Because we know McDavid's getting the Art Ross. It's not fun to say it, so why not get the
who's
Bob
gonna
Ross?
Win who's going to win the Hart? MVP.
Huh. Winning the MVP? Who do you got? Because I have got a couple of options based on the teams that have made the playoffs for me.
I'm going to go Nikita Kucherov.
Okay, so you're strong on Kucherov here.
Mm-hmm.
He wins a Bob Ross and he wins the Hart. Bob Ross.
I love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I've got the Sabres making the playoffs. You know that means Jack Eichel stepped up and became a 90-point player. And that...
You think he can do it?
That is the Taylor Hall argument from last year. Verbatim.
Ah!
Because if Jack Eichel steps up and is a 90-point player, if he's not on the team, are they a playoff team? No. If I've got the Sabres making the playoffs, something has to be not just going right for them, but a massive step up. And that is where I think it goes. Eichel may not lead the league in scoring.
Eichel may not
lead the league in scoring. He may not get a Bob Ross. But if the Sabres make the playoffs, there has to be a contention for the Hart.
I think Eichel can still be a 90-point player this year, even not winning the MVP.
I know, but what I'm saying is that the argument, his name better be on the table.
If the Sabres make the playoffs, it's because Eichel is destroying everybody.
That's what I'm saying. If he gets to 90 points and he really starts...
He does... Like, I mean...
90 points is the next step. What did Taylor Hall do last year?
I think he was a 90-point player last year.
And that's where the argument lies.
If 93.
So if Jack Eichel lands in that Taylor Hall range and the Sabres make the playoffs, you better bet the same argument's being made.
Eichel had 64 and 67 last season.
The next step is here.
He was, and at the time when he got hurt, he was on pace to be more than a point a game player. If he played the full year,
hell, starting the he season, looked like Kane were on pace for point of games.
If he would have played the full year and kept that pace, because when he came back, he was not scoring.
No, because
his
last winger was dished.
Yeah,
he had Kane as a point per game or two.
What I'm saying is line, Eichel could have. I'm just saying is even with how bad the Sabres were last year, if Eichel played the whole year, he could have hit 90. He really could have. He was on pace to be around somewhere between 80 and 90 points.
Well, then
he can do it. He can do that.
Yeah.
Now that Jeff Skinner's there, now you got Ryan Herlock done. Now that Dahlin is there,
look at what Skinner has done with him in the short time in the preseason. All the guys
that power
doing
play
is scoring goals.
That power play.
Better be better.
It's going to be better. Whether it's restore Dahlin manning it with the top line. Yeah, he can do it. I don't know if it'd be MVP worthy enough.
What I'm saying is the conversation's the same.
The conversation for Taylor, the argument would be, well, Taylor Hall won it last year.
And people could ask the same question of, if Jack Eichel, 90-point player here, was not on the Sabres, are they a playoff team?
Yeah, okay.
And that's where I think it happens.
That's an argument. That's a good argument.
So I'll go with Jack Eichel. If I'm picking the Sabres to make the playoffs, that means something has gone extremely well.
Okay.
And I think that is Jack Eichel.
So.
Also, I don't think I could pick the Sabres to go to playoffs without that happening.
This is true. That's very true. Okay. We don't have to do the entire playoffs. Let's do this. What is your Eastern Conference final?
Okay, my Eastern Conference final,
I'm probably going to be boring by saying this. I'm going Tampa, Washington.
I'm going to hate myself for doing this. I'm going Pittsburgh, Toronto.
That's interesting. More so that you're picking Pittsburgh. I can see Toronto.
Pittsburgh's still a great team.
They're still good.
Because I think the Penguins will do something at the deadline that they need to address.
Okay.
Their blue line.
They're going to have to.
And if they get a solid piece there and Jack Johnson is just not as terrible as some of their players were on the blue line last year,
well, they're already a better team
then.
Okay.
If Letang takes less minutes right now, then defensively they're not as huge of a problem.
Sure. Okay.
So I think the Penguins could do it.
Who would win the series?
Pittsburgh.
For me, I'm going to go Tampa. They get a little revenge. So you have Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup. I have Tampa. What's your West Final?
West Final, Vegas against Winnipeg. Same as last year.
I'm going San Jose and Nashville.
So you...
San Jose wins the series.
Winnipeg, Pittsburgh Final.
I like that. Who wins the Cup?
Winnipeg.
So you finally...
The Peg gets revenge for last year.
And a Canadian team finally wins the Cup.
If Canadian team finally wins the Cup.
It's got to happen at some point.
The Atlanta Thrashers' stench is washed off.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but that team is undeniable. Like Steve Dangle said back on the Friday show, they quote-unquote lost Paul Stastny, but he was a deadline acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine what they add this year?
Yeah, if they can add another center.
If they get a piece.
Yeah.
From say,
I'm wondering. See, for my question with Winnipeg, I wouldn't question that going into the deadline. Who's going to be their third line center to start the year?
Hang on. I just had a really deadly thought in my brain.
What's that?
Columbus probably isn't signing Bredman for the rest of the year for long term, are they?
They're not trading him to Winnipeg. Stop.
Oh my God.
Stop.
Could you imagine Columbus not being in playoff contention and just dishing the Bredman to Winnipeg?
Stop.
Dreams.
Stop.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Stop.
I'm taking the Peg.
Oh yeah? Well, I'm gonna take that one step further. Columbus dishes Bredman to San Jose.
Do they even have the cap space? I at least know the Jets do.
Who cares?
Bookkeepers for one, the NHL for another.
San Jose has $2.5 million.
They can't afford it.
But all they would have to do is unload a contract.
Like whom?
Justin Braun. He has almost $4 million.
They don't even have first round picks anymore to deal away to convince you to do that. They don't.
I'm just messing around.
But I'm at least getting realistic here.
Okay, fine. Breadman to Vegas.
Mother of God. God.
How about that?
If that happens, then we're just all bowing to the greatest expansion team of all time.
Yeah.
And Seattle will never do as well as their older brother.
So my cup final is Tampa, San Jose. And the Sharks finally get it.
Lame.
I just want to see Erik Karlsson lift the cup. Shut up. I want to see Joel Thornton lift the cup. Shut up.
I want to see these things too, but this is the Sharks we're talking about for one. And if any team is clearly more potent than Washington at choking, it's San Jose.
But what does San Jose have now that they didn't those other times?
Perfection, and that's a problem.
They have Erik Karlsson.
They have a perfect roster, Frank.
Well, that they means- don't. There's nothing. There is no such thing as a perfect roster.
But they have the best one in the league. And how often does the best team win the Stanley Cup?
I never said San Jose was the best team.
They have the best team. Top to bottom on a roster, they have the best team. Their goaltending is at least average, above average. Their forward depth is, you can roll four lines and have scoring on all of them. Their defense is ridiculous. San Jose might be playing with two pucks out there. They are top to bottom the most complete roster in the NHL. Including Tampa. What happens to teams that are perfectly assembled, Frank? They lose.
That's fair. That's fair.
They choke. They hit a hot goaltender. They might not make it out of the damn divisional first round because Jonathan Quick and Marc-Andre Fleury are there.
That's fair.
San Jose may be the best team, but they also have probably the toughest road. Because I don't think they win the division, which means they get a date with Jonathan Quick and the Kings.
Yeah, but the Kings aren't going to score goals to win.
Tampa might get Buffalo or Florida based on my prognostication there.
Or New Jersey based on mine.
Not a bad draw.
Yeah, but they did that last year, too. And they choked.
They choked against Washington in the conference finals.
Yeah. But who's to say that they would do the same thing? Because I think Tampa's more of a complete roster. Just complete in general. San Jose overloaded.
Fine. San Jose, please, enter the buzzsaw that is Winnipeg. I dare you. San Jose may be the most perfect roster that I've seen, but I still think Winnipeg is the most dangerous team, period. Why? Goaltending.
And that would be contingent on Hellebuck playing, continuing the way he played last year.
And usually those things do happen.
A lot of times they do, yeah.
The guy looks like he could be a Vezina candidate.
He could be. Hellebuck doesn't even have to be a Vezina candidate for Winnipeg to be a great team. Because the
Jets are great, too.
Yeah. Hellebuck got 924 save percentage last year. He could have a 917 and be fine.
Yeah, but again,
you got to think there's going to be some regression.
There might be some regression
in some places, you know, for a lot of teams. Like I said, Winnipeg.
What about Martin Jones?
He's kind of done that because 15-16 was his first year in San Jose, and he went 65 games, 2.27 goals against, 918 save percentage.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, he had a 912. Last year, he had a 915. So there was a little bit of regression, but he's starting to even out. That he's he's around a 915, probably 916 goalie.
And again, like I said, he's above average at minimum.
He had a 923 in the playoffs, too, that year.
But again, My thing is that I can't count on the Sharks. I can't even count on the Sharks to make it out of their division in the playoffs.
I kind of take that choke label off of them because they were able to make the finals in 2016. 2017, I mean, they ran into a hot Edmonton team. And then last year they ran into they ran into the best expansion team ever.
That got better. That traded for Max Pacioretty. That signed Paul Stastny.
Yeah.
They are more dangerous this year than last.
And yet
their defense is not truly elite.
It's not.
But Marc-Andre Fleury is...
The reason I have San Jose over Vegas, I wonder if there is going to be enough regression that it might keep them out. It's still good enough to put them in the playoffs and win a series. But will it keep them out of the conference finals? Because with Vegas, they had that huge high last year. Everything went right for them.
High? They just were good.
They were...
Advanced statistics even started saying they were good.
Yeah. How much... I wonder if there's going to be some regression in those stats.
Naturally, there will be.
I'm thinking it's probably enough to keep them out of the West Finals, but still put them in that upper echelon of teams.
Well, either way, I guess what
They did do really well in the offseason in adding Paul Stastny and trading for Max Pacioretty.
I think in the end of the day, though, the way that we're arguing these things,
we're arguing about good teams.
Yes, you can go to the West and look at five teams and go.
They can
make the finals.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the East, I don't know if you could do that.
The East, you're looking at probably three or four, well, maybe three teams.
Because you're betting on Toronto and Boston punching each other enough that they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Tampa cruises through a wild card and then has to deal
Tampa's with... still Tampa. And then,
has to deal with the bruised and battered Toronto or Boston.
Yeah.
To which I'm still thinking that Tampa doesn't make it through. But other than that,
and then it's Pittsburgh, Washington.
The ones I can bank on right now is Toronto because I've got a bad feeling about this.
I mean, John Tavares helps.
Tampa maybe, and then
Pittsburgh, Washington,
whichever, and those two are going to hit each other.
Mm-hmm.
I can't count on.
Looking at four teams where they're going to be beating each other up, and then there's Tampa, and then you're looking at the West, and you can see five teams and think, yeah, they got a legit shot.
And L.A. got a true Gunner and Kovalchuk back here. So L.A. is someone that you can't sleep on.
And
San Jose better not sleep on.
No one's going to sleep on them.
So
Kings can blow up. That's the thing about the Kings. They can legit like just blow up and go on a run.
If they add another forward at the deadline,
they're going to have to.
They could be truly dangerous.
Yeah.
Because their defense is
and
good.
I don't know, and I don't think you can sleep on St. Louis.
No, you can't.
You can't sleep on them.
I mean, I don't think Ryan O'Reilly is the reason why.
No.
But what I do think is they have.
But you've got him. But yeah, you've got the talented core. There's also a lot of youth there, too.
Everyone had an injury last year in St. Louis.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
We got to go.
We do got to go. But thank you, as always, for listening to this super long version of the podcast. Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
Thank you, as always, for listening on WGR550.com. And, you know, as they always say, always go for it on fourth down. Big Jojones, Frank Reich.